Your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We saw that chapter 1 was all rah-rah and very positive as we looked at the glorious salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. And then chapter 2, to balance the ship, gives us warning about false teachers. False teachers and why we must beware of them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, sneaking around, underhanded, whispering, doing things behind the back, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. One man said the early church had wooden cathedrals and gold ministers. And now they have gold cathedrals and wooden ministers. And they have made merchandise of God's people, and by so doing they have lowered themselves. Verse number 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Verse number 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak of dignities. God gives in this chapter three examples for our consideration with regard to these false teachers. The angels that sinned in that rebellion led by Satan, the flood of Noah's day, and the overthrow of the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the suburbs round about them. We saw last week that these three examples show to us the love and the mercy of God, because all of these had a warning. They had an opportunity. They had a way of escape if they would only choose to take it. All right, now this morning we're going to begin to look at each of these three and find out just what it is that links these particular events to the false teachers that we are warned about. What links the fall of Satan and the angels that rebelled with him to the false teachers that would harm you and that would harm me in a church in our day? What links the flood of Noah's day and the people that drowned in that flood to people sitting in this church? And surely the warning of Sodom and Gomorrah, you would think, why, we shouldn't need a warning like that. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at what's going on in our degenerate society and how that corruption has made its way into the church house. So This morning, the rebellion of Satan and his angels. I want you to just stick with me. I mean, you came to sing, and we have sung. You came to pray, and we prayed. And I hope you came to study the Bible, because we are going to study the Bible. And this is very valuable. It's very important for our day, because when people think of Satan, they are TV influenced. And our society's just completely warped by TV. And so when you say Satan, they think of a cartoon character in a red leotard with a pointy tail and a pitchfork. Or when you say Satan, you think of some guy that's really, you know, not so bad, you know, in a Disney movie, you know, a kind of a funny ha-ha guy that's just got a little trick up his sleeve. But that's not it. He doesn't come at you. The devil doesn't come at you as a monster. He doesn't come at you as a destroyer. He comes at you as a deceiver. As a deceiver. And so we need to identify his tactics, or lest we fall to that deceit. So let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, as we look this morning at the ways and the tactics of Satan that are like some of these false teachers that are here in our day, help us, Lord, to remember these things, to take them to heart, to be on the watch for these characteristics in the ministers and preachers and teachers that we listen to in our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's come first of all to Isaiah chapter 14. You want to learn what Satan is like? That's a good place to start. Isaiah chapter number 14. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read these words from 2 Peter one more time, verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, verse 10, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now here are the three characteristics of these angels that sinned, according to the verse I just read. They were presumptuous. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. Well, let's presume that because he's a God of grace, love, and mercy, we can just get away with anything. Okay? They were presumptuous. Secondly, they are self-willed. Let's presume that since God is a God of grace and a God of love and a God of mercy, he really doesn't care if his commandments are obeyed or if his instructions are followed. Let's just do what we want to do and not what God commands. They're self-willed. And thirdly, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Who would dare suggest that God is wrong, that God is at fault, that God doesn't know what he's talking about? You say, who would dare? Well, since the day that Satan and his angels fell, millions have dared to say that God doesn't know it all. Listen, speak evil of dignitaries. People say, well, that's why we shouldn't criticize the president. We shouldn't say evil of dignitaries. Well, people say, well, that's why, you know, you're worried about people saying bad things about your president. What about God? Isn't God above them all? How about God? These Christians come up to the pastor all the time. They say, Pastor, how come you said something bad about the president? Never mind about that. How about God? There's the ultimate dignity. It's the Lord. And he's the name that I hear cursed. He's the one whose will and ways I see being disobeyed. And so let's take a look here at Isaiah 14. The Bible says in verse number 12, this statement, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" There's the devil. "Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Here's how. All right, here's how. You want to know how? Here it is. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." All right, so let's just step back for a minute and take a look. Satan did not try to introduce liquor into heaven. He did not set up a crack house on one of the back streets of heaven. He did not bring dirty movies and cable TV into heaven. What Satan did was yielded to the desire in his heart to put his will above the will of God, to put himself in the position of authority rather than God. Now, let me ask you something. If the sin that initiated everything that's ever brought a tear to your eye, if the sin that initiated everything that ever brought heartache and grief to your soul, if the sin that initiated every trouble that's ever entered into your home or your society, if that sin was man setting his will above God's will, making himself the authority and not God, if that's the thing that kicked off all of this trouble, why is it that men can stand in Christian pulpits and teach humanism rather than submission? Teach, you're wonderful, rather than you need to repent because you're not wonderful. Teach, love and trust yourself rather than deny yourself, like the Bible says, and to do so without being detected as satanic, because the people sitting in our churches have been divorced from the Word of God. That's how they get away with it. Okay, they don't know the Bible. I'm telling you, this Bible says the sin that led to the rebellion of the angels, that resulted in Satan being cast down, that resulted in those angels ending up in hell, was not anything in the list of sins that you would think of as being horrific crimes. It's self-will, a desire to put one's self upon the throne in the place of Almighty God who sits upon that throne. May I suggest to you, and I'm completely convinced of it in my mind that it's the truth, that advertising and humanist philosophy and our TV programs, our movies, our school systems, the majority of our pulpits are not recognized as being satanic because it doesn't point a gun at you. It doesn't wave a machete at you. It doesn't poison your waters. It doesn't pollute your air. It doesn't molest your children. But hey, all of these crimes men commit one against another are the outworking of man's refusal to put a holy God in the place of authority in their lives. You're worried about lying, but it's only God who said, thou shalt not bear false witness. The business world says, well, you've got to lie if you want to succeed. Society says, well, everybody lies a little bit. And when we're lied about and lied against and we hurt and we say, why don't people do better? If the only God is how they feel at the moment, they're doing okay. Someone shoots another person and their mother says, well, he was a good boy. According to who? See, that's where we are. Now, the false teachers you are warned about in 2 Peter chapter 2, God says, I want you to take a look at the angels that sinned. What was their sin? It was not contemporary music. It wasn't mini skirts. It wasn't boys with earrings. What was it? They said, God is not going to tell us what to do. We are going to do what we feel like doing. That's the teaching that people use when they want to get in a church and make money off of God's people instead of telling them the truth for their benefit and for God's glory. So that's the warning. Now, let's look in your Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Now, I know you know these passages probably pretty well, but we've got to look at them as they're written and see what actually happened. Genesis chapter 3. Lucifer, at this stage, Lucifer has fallen as the serpent. He appears in the garden. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You see that? He was not more frightening than any beast. He was not more imposing, not more awe-provoking and fear-inducing. Subtle. You see that? The devil of the comic books is not the devil of the Bible. I mean, look, if he came at you like this fire-breathing monster, you would run from him. He doesn't want you to run from him. But if he comes to you as a friend who wants to help you, a teacher who wants to rescue you from the chains of barbaric fundamentalism that caused you to have such a negative self-image and such low self-esteem and has caused you so many emotional problems by making you think that you're guilty of something. Well, if he comes at you like that, he could just slither right up in your lap and whisper in your ear. You wouldn't run away. So the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Hey, woman, is it bothering you that God put these restrictions on you? Is it bothering you that God tries to tell you what to do? Is it bothering you that you don't get to do your own thing, but you have to do God's thing? Some of you have friends who are satanic, because that's what they're whispering in your ear. Some of you have idols and heroes, and they're satanic. Some of you have music. I don't care what kind of beat it has. That music is satanic. If that friend or that instructor or that entertainment is whispering in your ear and telling you that God has no right to run your life, that is the voice of the serpent. We're talking about false teachers now. And so the Bible says in verse number 1, and in the middle of the verse, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what God said? And people who have a complaint against God always exaggerate, just like Satan did right there. They exaggerate the complaint. Because God did not say, he did not say Adam and Eve could not eat the fruit of every tree, did he? He said they couldn't eat of one tree. He said one. There's one tree you can't eat. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right, God didn't say, neither shall ye touch it. Okay, so they exaggerate the complaint. I mean, look, if you don't like somebody, what do? You magnify what they do that you don't like or you think is improper. Okay? If you do like somebody, you'll magnify what they do that you think is proper. Okay? It's a pretty simple rule there. And so the Bible says in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What is he offering the woman? The same thing he offered the angels. Let me show you how you can do this without God. I mean, look, if she becomes God, she doesn't need God. If she knows what God knows, she doesn't need God. If she has the eye-opening wisdom and experience of God, she doesn't need God. So what is Schuller saying? Trust yourself. What are the humanists saying? Trust yourself. Oh, we'll take a few things from the Bible, but not to show you how glorious God is, but to show you how important you are. You're so important. And if you're that wonderful and you're that important, and if God just loves you no matter what you do, no matter when you do it, no matter how you do it, you don't need God. Do it on your own. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So we are looking for leaders within the church. 1 Timothy 3. Watch carefully the following qualifications starting in verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless. Check, he is. The husband of one wife, he is. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Check, check, check. Given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. No striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. All right, so this guy's got it all. He meets all the qualifications. Let's put him in. Verse 6, not a novice, not a beginner Christian. Why? He tells you why. Lest, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Okay, so he's a good man. He loves God. He's got a good testimony, good reputation. And no sooner do you put that man in the place of leadership, he starts talking about my church, my people. They're the Lord's. He bought them with his blood. They don't belong to any preacher. Okay? And pretty soon it's the pastor is the law of the land, you know, not the word of God. And the preacher is the final authority and not the word of God. You know what happened to that guy? He was a good man that loved Jesus and he wanted to serve Jesus. But somebody moved too quick because they thought the great sins were the drinking and the smoking and the cussing and the chewing and the dancing, and they forgot that the greatest sin is pride. That ego gets in there and that pride gets in there, and pretty soon, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Why do some people repent and stay humble? They stay in the church, they humble themselves, they fix relationships, and other people just stay mad and alienated for years and walk out of a church. I'll tell you why. Pride. It's going to be my way or I'm not staying around. It's going to be my way or we're not going to patch this thing up. It's going to be my way, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is the devil. That's his attitude. God is going to tell you what to do if he's God. And if God isn't going to tell you what to do, then you have been deceived by false teaching. See, we think the danger is people selling newspapers out of their briefcase from door to door. Boys on their bicycles riding through town. That's not the danger. Other false religions, that's not the danger. The danger is the depth of the human heart. it's in that heart. It's our unwillingness to let God govern. That's what brought the devil down. That's what brought the angels down. So what do you do in this day of self-love and this day of humanism and to build a big church? You tell people they can be their own gods. In one of the fastest growing religions today, that is their doctrine. The doctrine of Joe Smith and Mormonism, it's exactly that. You can be your own God. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Now, if I stood up here today and I said, I believe that one day I'm going to be a God of my own universe and I'm going to collect women and make babies and populate a planet, you'd think I was crazy. But that's what Mormons believe. Somebody taught them that. Some teacher taught them that. That wasn't the Bible. They didn't get that from the Bible. In the Bible, the very day that mankind enters into sin, what brought them into sin was Satan telling them that they could be a god. And then 1 Timothy warns about little gods standing in pulpits and little gods standing in front of Christian Sunday school classes, making themselves the authority. 2 Thessalonians, just turn back a page or two there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who decides, young people, how you're going to entertain yourselves? Who decides, mom and dad, what's going to be done in your home? Who decides, Christian, how you spend your time and what you do with your life? The Bible says this about the coming Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Start to finish, what is the devil's business? I want to be God. I don't want the true and the living God telling me what to do. So what are you going to do? What do you think you're going to get for an antichrist? One who exalts himself above God. Now, brother, sister, that sin habit in your life is a result of you exalting yourself above God. The Holy Spirit could free you from that, but you just won't submit to Him. The Holy Spirit could convict you of that so sorely that you would plead with God and beg Him to deliver you from that. And He'd help you to stay before God until you got it out of your life completely. Unless someone has taught you it's okay. Well, it's just a little problem, you know. It's a problem you have. God understands. Or you could pay to go have somebody tell you it's genetic. Well, of course it's genetic. You inherited it from Adam. But you could get a new birth and have a father whose genetic blessings upon you are sinless. But look, as long as you are running to friends and running to family and running to church members and running to professing Christians and running to ministers who help you justify your sins, saying to you, don't listen to God, listen to me, you'll continue to be deceived. And that's the deception that Peter warns you about. Well, I've just got a temper problem. Galatians chapter 5 says you shouldn't. Well, you know, I just have this habit. Galatians 5 says you choose to. Well, you know, I've just always done it. It's just the way I was raised. It's how I was brought up. The Bible says if we sin willfully, the Bible says keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Jesus said, go and sin no more. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So what's all this teaching, encouraging people who say they know Jesus to keep sinning and justify it and make excuses for it and blame somebody else for it? You need to deliver yourself from that teaching. It's false, and it will hurt you. It'll hurt your family. Let's look at the flip side. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. What would one do who was not seeking to overthrow God who sits upon the throne? Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All right? Satan did not, right? Satan didn't do that. The angels that sinned did not. Eve did not. Adam did not. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Word of God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Every choice comes down to that. Every action comes down to that. Every decision comes down to that. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, that's the way I'm going to go. God said it. I'm going to do what God said. Okay, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, well, but I think. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, well, but I feel. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, but I read this book one time. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, but I've got a friend, and you know what he told me? What are you going to do? You're going to trust the Lord, acknowledge Him in everything, and let Him direct your paths, or you're going to be deceived by a false teacher that you are a safer guide. You're a better guide than God is. That's really what it comes down to. Look at Luke chapter 11. God wants to lead you down the safe and the right paths, and you've got to let Him do that. The book of Luke and the 11th chapter, Luke chapter 11, Jesus' disciples asked Him to teach them to pray, and here's what He said and this is the Gentile gospel. It's not, you don't find this in Matthew. This is Luke. Here's what He said, verse number 2. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Do you have a father? Capital F. Is God your Father? Have you been born again? Which art in heaven? Have you got a heavenly Father? I do. I'm glad I do. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. All right, now watch. Thy will be done. As it is in heaven, so in earth. Do you have a heavenly Father? Are you in earth right now? Has His kingdom come? Has it come yet? No. See, He didn't say, thy kingdom come and then thy will be done. He said, thy kingdom come, period. We're hoping for that, period. Now, new statement, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Why are you waiting for Jesus to get back for righteousness to show up on earth? Let His will be done in your life. Now. Right now. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, here's what I want you to pray. Pray that my will would be done. What does the flesh want, though? I will. No, God's will. I will. Yeah, but God's will. I will. But God said, I will. I will. That's it. That's what the flesh wants. Now, true Bible teaching says, deny yourself, trust in the Lord, and obey the Lord. False teaching says, well, now, that's that Bible, it just, you know, it's subject to all sorts of interpretations, you know. We don't even know if it's translated right. And, you know, men can make the Bible say just about anything they want to. So, you know, the best thing for you to do is just find what works for you. That is the serpent. That's the voice of the devil. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself, isn't that what the devil did? Shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself, is that what Jesus did? Shall be exalted. The devil sought the throne and he ends up in hell. Jesus humbled himself, laid down his life for all of us, and he ends up on the throne. The way up is down. The way down is up. The great paradox of the ages right there. All right, look at chapter 18 of Luke. Luke 18, verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. What did Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord. Who was Jesus dealing with? People who trusted in themselves. Certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm sure God was impressed to hear that while he ran the universe. Woohoo, everybody, take a look at that. Yeah, I may have created planets and solar systems and galaxies and life, but hey, that guy, he paid a tithe. Woo. Now that might impress a lot of preachers, but it's not going to impress God. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now watch. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's go back to where we started. Satan didn't introduce liquor, dope, perversion. He didn't introduce all of that stuff. That didn't happen. It was pride. But all of those things came as byproducts of that pride, you see. So here's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying your habits and your vices and your addictions and your sins, I'm not saying those are not problems, but they're not the problem. The problem is your pride. Because if you would humble yourself and repent and obey the word of God, he could free you from all of those other problems. But as long as you say no to God, no to the word of God, you can't be delivered from the byproducts of the root sin, which is pride. Which is pride. That's why all this self-help, humanism, religious fluff that's on the TV and the radio can't help you. Your problem is not that specific habit. It's your pride. Your problem is not that vice. It's your pride. Your problem is not that you don't want to do this and you do want to do that. It's your pride. That's your problem. Because if you would humble yourself and let God be God and govern your life, He could lead you out of every bit of that. He could get you out of that stuff. But as long as you are on the throne and you are the one calling the shots, you're going to have to live with your rotten kingdom. You say, well, I'm a self-made man. Don't brag about that. Fire the contractor. Well, you know, everybody's got a few problems. Yeah, but you don't have to destroy yourself with sin. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, somebody sure is. It's going to be God or it's going to be the devil. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. That's the great deception of Satan. These kids, they're out there destroying their lives. You try to tell them about Jesus. Man, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Satan rules, man. You dummy. If Satan rules, he's telling you what to do. And you're listening to him. Luke 22. Look at the Savior. Luke 22, verse 42. This is Jesus Christ saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Satan said, I will. Jesus said, as you will. He left us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin. Good example there. Let's finish up with this. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. And then we'll go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Titus 1 and 2 Peter 2. Adam had a relationship with God in the garden. He had a relationship with God after he left the garden. Eve had a relationship with God in the garden. She had a relationship with God after she left the garden. Well, as long as I know the Lord, that's all that matters. They lost their home and buried a child because of their self-will. If you would ask them 20 years after they left the garden, if none of that matters, as long as you have a relationship with God, they would tell you they wish they could go back and have the home they lost and the child they buried. 2 Peter 2 picks three examples of false teachers, and all three show us that though you may have a relationship with God, you need to be right with God, because sin hurts. Well, as long as I go to heaven, I don't care. You will care. You will care. It hurts. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Let Him direct your paths. Titus 1 says this here in verse 7, Titus 1:7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. All right, look at these words, not self-willed, not self-willed. 2 Peter 2, verse 10, look at the end of the verse, 2 Peter 2:10, presumptuous are they, these false teachers, self-willed. It's real simple, isn't it? The man who has yielded himself to the Lord's control is not self-willed. The man who has yielded himself to the devil's control is self-willed. Young man, it's not your back-talking towards your parents that concerns us. It's the evidence that you are controlled by Satan. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I'm going by the Bible here, okay? What are you going by? Your friends? Sir, that attitude you have toward your wife, self-will, not self-will. Controlled by God, controlled by Satan, which is it? I know people don't like to hear it so clearly, but the Bible really does make it that clear. It's Friday, okay, in Kuwait. What do saved people in Kuwait do on Friday? The ones that do God's will, they know where to go. They know when to go, they know what to look for, they know what to do when they get there. The people who are self-willed, they take it or leave it. Okay, now, one is God's control, one is the devil's control. And it's that simple. People don't like it that simple. Now, my problem, your problem, is not the branches on the tree. It's the root of the tree. And all the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts and the do's and the don'ts, those are the branches on that tree. The root of that tree is pride. It's pride. That's why the Lord sent the forerunner, and that forerunner said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Never mind pruning the branches. If you prune the branch, you're just going to get more of the same. Well, I'm just going to cut back a little. Well, I'm just going to taper off. Well, I'm just going to start getting a little bit more involved. Put the axe to the root of that pride and that self-confidence and that self-will and cut her down. The false teaching the Bible warns us about, it's strange. The danger is not somebody standing in a Christian pulpit and telling you to make an idol, telling you to make an image, or telling you to sacrifice your children or carve a totem pole, okay? The danger is somebody standing in this pulpit and encouraging you to keep trusting yourself. And that is what's happening. That's happening. Listen, if you go into a secular bookstore and here's humanistic preachers on the book rack. If you go into the Christian bookstore, here's secular talk show people. It's all the same stuff. You're okay. You know, you come up with the answer. We came up with an answer. Here are my guidelines. Here's my opinion. Here, read about my virtues. Here's my morals. Where's God? Thus saith the Lord. That's all it would take. Thus saith the Lord. So this morning, false teachers, Exhibit A, Satan. He's not a bartender. He's not a disc jockey. He doesn't dance with the stars. All of that stuff is just byproducts. All of that are just the outworkings. The root of that thing is nobody is going to tell me what to do. Or you'll humble yourself. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I hope that's what you'll choose to do. Let's stand and we'll pray and sing a closing hymn. Father in heaven, we thank you for making your holy scriptures, the word of God, so very clear to us. Help us to keep a guard on our heart and make sure that we are trusting you. We are looking to you to guide us in our paths. We know that you will lead us in the right paths. We know that we don't know what the right paths are, and we need to trust you every day. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to recognize those who would seek to deceive us, those who have other motives, those who just want our money and don't care about us. So they'll teach us to trust ourselves. Lord, help us to spot that instantly so that we can run from that and go find a teacher that loves you, loves your word, and stands by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.